drink, and the devil had done with the rest. Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum. The mate was fixed by a bosun's pipe. The bosun brained with a marlin spike. And Cookie's throat was marked belied. He had been gripped by fingers ten. And there they lay, all good dead men. By break of day in a bosun ken. Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum.
15 men of a whole ship's list.
You think it's fun?
Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum.
Hey everybody, welcome to the next episode of Comaholics. This is episode 15.
Yay!
This is the big XV.
That's right.
If this was a Super Bowl, this would be
15.
One that I didn't watch because I don't watch sports. So anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. We are here at Comaholics HQ, and of course, I am one of your co-hosts, Dirt. I'm also joined by...
The Apocalypse Leopakis. I always like to add Leopakis on there, I don't know.
Because you just don't want to call yourself Apocalypse?
Sometimes I do. I don't know.
That's just too much. That's too much of a downer.
Tonight we'll just be the Apocalypse.
Well, it's too late now. You already said your last name.
That was just the formal introduction.
But
for the rest of the event.
So they get your credit right. They make sure your name is on it for the
street cred, are we?
His IMDb page.
We're also joined by our assistant co-host.
The old man?
Yeah, the old man.
The old man.
Old man Ferguson.
Turd Ferguson, the old man.
Yeah. Old man Ferguson remembers men walking on the moon. Thanks, boys.
He's got popsicles in his basement.
That's right, Cash.
So...
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on today. Just got done watching Walking Dead.
Haven't seen it yet.
Episode 3. You haven't seen it yet?
Yeah. It no, it's 4, wasn't it?
Maybe it was 4.
I don't know, I can't count.
With all the hoopla of the holiday... You know, Halloween was just last Monday. A lot going on, but great stuff.
I have not seen 3 or 4 yet.
Well, what did you think of 1 and 2?
I liked 1. I don't know. I'm kind of... Did they find the little girl yet?
No.
Because I'm done with
that
story.
I know, it needs to be over with. Yeah.
Like that?
You don't want to give away what
well,
we've
no,
seen.
Well, no, yeah. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, well, too late, but we're talking 2 weeks ago. And
no, our audience knows we're terrible right. spoilers. Right. It's not even... worth trying to keep our mouth shut.
So anyway.
You can't hold us back. We'll say what we want.
I pay my bills.
So anyway.
Welcome back, folks.
Instead, I was watching the Iron Chef America Super Chefs.
Wow.
And ooh. Chef Robert got voted off, so I'm probably not going to watch that show anymore.
They should do an Iron Chef with zombies.
You know, it's like, kind of hard to cook with zombies.
Right.
Either.
Yes.
You know, it, both ways. Like, A, it's hard to make a tasty dish out of zombie meat.
Or
B, it's difficult to cook with zombies in the kitchen.
Right.
You know, they're trying to bite you.
Could you see him, like chop it up like a carrot and, like, chop off his own finger and he's like, oh.
You're the worst sous chef I've ever had, stupid zombie.
There'd be no emotion. It'd be a boring show, actually.
So, anyway.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. I guess this is Comaholics. And if you don't know what Comaholics is, let me tell you what it is.
Give everybody the insight.
I'm going to give you the lowdown.
In your pants.
We love all things pop culture as well as comics. And we like to talk about what's current. And we also like to explore things that are off the cuff, so to speak. Not necessarily Marvel and DC. Although we do love.
Do you mean off the cusp?
Cusp. Cuff. Did I say cuff?
Yes.
I know. After I said it, I realized. I was hoping nobody would point it out. Thank you.
Oh, no. I had to make a big neon sign for that one.
Thank you, my friend Dirt.
You're welcome.
The whole idea is we wanted to create a show that was about...
Getting drunk. We need an excuse to get drunk.
Yeah. No.
Not that we need the
stuff
excuse,
you wouldn't normally
just
take
something
up.
To do well, while you're...
Something you wouldn't normally pick up off the rack, or something that's maybe not on the rack anymore, and you might have to do a little research and find yourself. Good luck with that one.
But we also talk about new stuff coming out.
Yeah.
And this week we're even going to talk about a couple things that aren't even out yet, because they come out this week.
So we're going to be covering some oldies, some goodies, some newbies.
And some fetuses. We're going to talk about comic fetuses.
Yeah, some babies.
Because they haven't been born yet.
Babies. So we're going to... And we haven't even decided the order yet. Like,
yeah, so segment one, new stuff, and future stuff. Okay, that's segment one.
Right.
Segment two, what are we going to do segment two?
I say we do Harbinger.
Okay. Harbinger from Valiant. First hardcover, the beginning. Covers issues 0 through 7. right.
And then we'll do Syndrome, not to be confused with Syndrome from Incredibles.
Right.
At all.
Yeah, not the Jason Lee voice character. No. This is Syndrome from Archaea Comics. And then our final segment will be on Morning Glories from Image Comics. All right. So, kick it off. Episode 15, segment 1.
Yes.
What are we talking about for segment 1?
Oh, let me remove the skull from my comics there.
You still got some Halloween decorations.
Yeah, It's all trickled through the house. I just can't seem to put it down.
I still have tombstones in my front yard to get rid of. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I was given free reign to buy all new stuff this year, so I just went nuts.
Whoa.
Yeah. Anyways, all right. Dead Man. Have you been
reading? DC Universe Presents?
Yes.
Yes.
Have you been reading this?
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
It's all right. I'm not blown away by it.
It's a complete restart. It is a restart.
Yeah, I mean, but it's a restart.
Still the same.
Yeah, I mean, it's starting over from the beginning, but the beginning is the same as it was before. It's just in now time. Instead of
when will then be now
70s time
then
soon.
I mean, I like the book, but I'm yet to be like, oh wow, I'm so glad they restarted.
I'm not blown
this.
Over by it.
Yeah,
yeah. Actually,
I'm fine with reading it, but I'm not. It's not one of the first things that I read.
I like to. I
interesting
like,
twist, but
I like.
Well, there's no real twist though.
Well,
it's
I mean,
the same
you
as
know,
it was.
Right, and what I was going to point out is, I'm more of a fan of Dead Man when it's more of a detective story.
Mm-hmm. Trying to solve a murder.
Yeah, what's the little guy's detective assistant? Oh, what's his name? He's like sidekick. It's in some of the older issues.
Oh, you're talking from... Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways, I like when it's more of a detective story. He's definitely not your A superhero. In fact, he's not even really a superhero. He's kind of like a dead guy that...
He's just a ghost.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really his thing.
Okay, moving along. Flash?
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Issue 2 of Flash, he realized that his brain can move at Flash speed as well.
Well, he has to... Well, it's like he's starting from the beginning. He's trying to, like, find a way to use his speed force. He's having trouble with the speed
force. Right,
he's
learning his powers.
He's basically got, like, a mental block going on, and he's trying to overcome that, so...
Fantastic stuff.
Who's the villain, the current villain going on in this too?
Well, he's got the whole clone thing going on.
Okay.
With the his buddy who he thought was dead, but now there's like 80 of them, whatever.
And, oh, I love this part here in the second issue when he's got it all planned out in his head.
When he sees everything
happen
ahead of time.
Happen.
Yeah.
Perfect classic Flash type stuff. But then it's broken down in each cell.
Well, and he can, and he moves so fast, he reacts so quickly because in his mind, he's already seen the
Isn't
events
that cool?
happen.
That's cool as hell.
It's like a two-page spread of just like him breaking down all the different things he's going to do, how it's going to happen.
Chain reaction.
To get the end result that he wants. Right. It's kind of like Superman thinking, basically.
Sure.
So, you know, I'm a huge Flash fan, so of course I'm going to be like, you know what, all over this kind of stuff.
Biased. Are you being biased?
Yes, a little. Okay, and then Scott Snyder, Batman.
I've been reading it. I'm still not sold on the artwork. I don't like Greg Capullo that much. I'm trying to think, what's the story in Batman versus the Dark Knight? Batman and Robin and
I stopped
Detective.
Reading Dark... I didn't like Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah, I didn't like Dark Knight
one.
Either. But
so I don't know.
But... I'm trying to remember what makes Batman different from what's going on in
Okay, in this one, there's this guy that's like out to get Batman because basically this guy believes that Batman in the future is going to either like be a result of a major catastrophe or something like that. Like Batman has to be taken
out. Is this the one that opens with him like
falling out of the window?
Okay, all right.
It gets better in the second issue, so I suggest you give it a shot.
Yeah, well, no, I read it. It's not standing out in my mind compared to Batman and Robin, which feels different, and Detective, which feels different. This one just isn't really jumping out at me like some of the other stuff. Smelling your new comic?
Yes.
You like that new comic smell?
Every time.
Love that ink smell.
It's still new after a few reads, folks. It's still new. Okay, so moving along. What about Green Lantern Corps?
I have not kept up on it.
Okay.
What do you think? I liked how
the
it was...
The Corps is investigating this
gory
planet,
and
they find a bunch of dead lanterns,
right.
And they're out for to find out what's going on, basically.
But that's
I'm interested. It's only a second issue. I'm more interested in like how they're going to change it from where they left off.
Hmm.
How much is staying? How much is going?
Yeah, because Green Lantern is one of those books that doesn't feel that different.
Green Lantern Corps always has heavy Guardian influence in it.
Well, yeah, but it's also, their history hasn't really changed. Like, right. Kyle Rayner's background seems right. a little different. But as far as, you know, the history, the last 5 years of the Green Lantern comics are more or less unchanged right. in this new universe. So it's just kind of weird. So anyway, there's that.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
I haven't read the latest.
IDW's? Who originally did?
Mirage, it was okay. their own. And then they were with Image for a while. Now IDW.
Let's see. I was, I remember exactly when Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles hit it big. I was like pre-junior high, loving it yeah. type stuff. You know, I couldn't.
But watching the cartoon.
Yes.
You didn't read the comics. I was
like 22.
No.
Going, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well,
they
call you the old man.
Chasing Girls was more interesting then.
Go to bed, old man!
But then, not too much longer after that, I had a 2-year-old. And he
liked Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Liked
it, and then okay. I kind of got into it.
But see, the original comics were nothing like the cartoon, so.
Right. Well, and then they did the movie.
And which was nothing like the comics. And this is much more like the original, the first black and white series that they did, so.
This reminds me of it.
It's got that raw edge to it. People just get the crap kicked out of them. They're not afraid to do some of
that
stuff.
Yeah, it's a little bit gray area between, like, you know, is this for children or is this for an adult?
Yeah, I'd say it's a teenage to young adult book, but definitely not a kid's book.
So I'm really excited about this. I'm going to keep collecting this one. This will be piled up on my stack. Suicide Squad.
Love it.
Yeah, me too.
I love it, especially at the end of issue 2 when, we'll just say, a character doesn't make it to the final page.
So what did you think of my bride's version of Harley Quinn? Because it was mimicked after the Harley Quinn in here.
Oh, after this one as opposed to the video
the
game or the movie or anything?
Not bad, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, take off the spandex part, just put on that middle section. You would look so good in that.
I know, thanks.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Senator, I have no recollection of those events.
You probably don't remember that night, do you?
Yeah, we were dueling Jokers, by the way.
Yeah, and I've seen video of it, and it probably will not be released. It is disturbing.
Long story short, the old man here, he was the classic Jack three-piece suit. No, better than Jack. You were a great Joker. You were a better Joker than I. But we were two different genres.
Well, yeah, because...
Right. Yeah, and I was the nurse... Joker from
the Dark Knight.
From the Dark Knight.
Which this guy...
That was nightmare-inducing.
Yes.
That was nightmare-inducing.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was a fun night to be had.
Yeah.
So, Suicide Squad. What do you think of, like, all the alien takeover where they're in the arena?
It reminded me of Duke Nukem. Actually, that's one of the things.
Wasn't it
that,
brilliantly brutal? And I like how all the characters played into it.
Well,
too.
And I like how it felt.
Like this guy here, the leader guy.
Right. It felt like at the beginning, you're just like, okay, there are these random people kind of thrown in this random thing. But then you get to the end, and there's really a sense that there was something constructed here.
Right.
Everybody had a purpose. Mm-hmm. And it was not apparent at the beginning, but it made sense at the end, you know? So I kind of appreciated the way the story was put together like that.
Well, since this is only the second issue we can talk about, basically they're there to do away with a big stadium full of people that have already been contaminated.
Yeah.
Is basically
they're basically there to just kill them all so it doesn't contaminate anything else. Yeah.
And the character play is great. Like Harley Quinn in this. Mm. You know, classic Harley Quinn. I don't know, the tattoo guy, what's his name? Tattoo, isn't that his name?
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? Okay.
And then, is it Hammerhead? Is
that the shark?
The shark.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Hammerhead, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Hammerhead's a Spider-Man villain. Is it the same name?
I don't know. I'm not collecting this anymore.
Fear Itself and Fearless?
I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't care any, I don't take it off my list.
Wow. Well, you only got it because you got Fear Itself, so it went to all the Fear Itself people.
Yeah, no more. I'm done with Fear Itself. I'll tell you what, Fear Itself... Marvel putting out Fear Itself has pushed me into DC.
Wow.
Ooh.
That's kind of harsh.
I mean, I've cut back like probably eight titles.
Secret Invasion.
Of Marvel. So
Secret Invasion kind of tainted the pool a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, Dark Reign was kind of an interesting concept that never really seemed to go anywhere.
It fizzled. It was not exciting of an end.
Fear itself just seemed pointless. Like, right. I got done with it, and I was like, I don't care. Like, you know, it's like, why did we have to read this? This could have very easily been a 3-issue storyline in Captain America or The Avengers. Mm-hmm. It didn't have to be this 7-issue maxi series. Nope. You know what I mean? So, are you done with your stack then?
No. Nightwing.
Love it.
Well, we got a lot in common here, so I'll just keep going through my stack. It sounds like it's a lot of what you're reading, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it great?
The one thing that's kind of bothering
me... Dick Grayson gets to be himself. Right. He doesn't have to fill that Batman role.
The one thing that's kind of bothering me about the new Bat universe is that apparently all the dudes just are throwing down having sex all over the place.
He's not.
Yeah, he does.
Well, that's right.
He totally bangs that chick in the airplane.
The carny girl comes back.
Yeah.
And then he inherits the carnival...
Which was kind of, you know...
Where are we going with that? But now he's going to be on this carnival tour throughout the country, saving people as Nightwing?
A, it's a good cover.
Yeah.
And B, it makes sense.
Gee whiz, no quinky dink that when that carnival shows up in your town, Batwing shows up in your town.
No, Nightwing. Nightwing. Batwing's
sorry,
a different
Batwing,
boy.
Nightwing.
Batwing's a black
Batwing's
guy
in
from
Africa.
South Africa.
Yo Mama's Wing.
Which is actually
Yo
a very good...
Okay,
Batwing is a great series as well.
Okay, Batgirl, yes, number two.
You know, I'm still sad it's not Stephanie Brown, but I'm enjoying... I like the idea of the character who's basically killing people because they happen to survive. I think that's an interesting touch on the storyline.
Wolverine.
Actually...
His comeback, his regenesis.
Okay, this is where we're going to talk about a future issue as well. Is this at 17?
Yes.
Okay, I've read 18, which comes out this week.
I thought about it, but I didn't.
I actually did read it, and I have to say, Wolverine 17 and 18 are a huge departure from what the series has been. These are the goofiest... Almost like Deadpool level craziness, zaniness.
It's like a spinoff,
right? And then
feels like a spinoff.
In 17,
like they're gonna come back like in issue 21, and they're gonna go back to where
being dark. Like this is just some kind of filler arc, whatever. But it's like in 17, he's head of this Chinese mafia gang, whatever, and he's got to stop these people who are horning in on their territory or whatever. And then in 18. The one that comes out this week, he and Gorilla Man...
Right, team up.
They've teamed up.
A reluctant team up. It does seem like Deadpool, now that you mention it.
And this whole issue, the whole issue of 18 is basically two of them versus this ninja gang that's hiding underground and their giant red dragon.
Right.
And they have this huge dragon, and of course, you know, Gorilla Man and Wolverine get... snookered by them, and they get tied up to this dragon, and they're being dragged around underground, and it's just, it's really bizarre. It doesn't fit at all with the tone or the pace of what has come before. It's interesting.
And what's up with the one-handed guy again?
What's up with it? I don't know. He fought him in the past and got his hand chopped off.
And he's still in a bandage?
Yeah, apparently. His does not regenerate, I guess. So, but it's, like... I enjoy this story, but it totally doesn't fit with what has come. It's still 1,000 times better than Wolverine, The Best There Is.
Yes. Yeah. We shall not talk of that one. Or as little as possible, anyways.
You know, and also, I'm not, you know, a huge Wolverine reader. So there's like this big fat guy with tattoos that meets up with them underground in issue 18 who's come to save them and whatever. And I have no idea who this dude is. I don't know if he came from a previous... storyline. Maybe someone reads it this week. You can, you know, join the forums and let me know what the heck's going on. But it's fun to read, you know. Like I said, I'm digging the tone of it, but I just don't like what?
Right.
You know? Like it doesn't fit, doesn't make sense. So still fun though.
Green Lantern.
The original?
Yeah,
let's see, number two? Yes. I did enjoy that. I liked the his whole thing with going to save the person, jumping through the window into the next apartment building.
You're right.
And it turns out, oh, they're filming a movie. Whoops.
Right.
Was that in this one, or was that in the last one?
I'm like, right, what?
Oh, that must have been in issue one.
No.
That's not in issue two. That was in issue one. Issue two is him going with Sinestro?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. To go fight Gorgor.
Monsters from out of space.
Yes. And he rescues the girl.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's all
right. Yeah,
It's been a while since I read this, so I'm a little fuzzy on that one. I read that one a while back. I know you're not reading Uncanny X-Force.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, I want to see what's going to happen here with Archangel and Warren. It's been carrying on way too long. They just need to like, he's the Apocalypse now. Do you know that? Warren is the Apocalypse.
Oh, really?
Yes. But they're still trying to, like,
that's why he's leaving the team?
Yeah, well, he is the Apocalypse, and he's got his four horsemen with him. You know, from, like, the previous comics with the drummer guy and the Pestilence geisha lady.
You know, our logo for Comiholics is the horseman of the Apocalypse.
Okay. Drinking. So, it's really good. I'm still...
You still like it a lot?
Yeah.
Now, the artwork on that has changed, hasn't it?
Because
the guy who paints the covers is now doing the interiors, is that right?
Okay, sure.
Is that... Okay.
I didn't notice the difference. I didn't notice the change. It all looks... It looks the same to me, but... Anyways.
Okay.
FF?
I am behind on FF.
Okay. Then we shall continue on.
You can talk about it, though. Say something if you...
It's been a while since I read that one, too, so I'm a little fuzzy on it. There's a big stack here. This is a lot of reading. Yeah. We took almost a month off.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while. We had a lot of DC stuff.
Shield, Justice League.
I still like it. I still... did you... Okay, here's something I want to talk about Justice League. Did you ever redeem the code on the Justice League #1 to read the digital copy from Comixology that I told you to do like 2.5 months ago? Nope. Okay, then.
They told him not to talk about it.
I gave you specific instructions about 8 weeks ago.
Government agents would
that
like
you have a code.
Kick out their upstairs windows.
Yeah. You've got a code to download Justice League #1.
I still have the comics set aside to do it, too.
Because I want you to try out Comixology, because I want to talk to you about Comixology. You haven't done
it. Yeah, I failed you again.
You're a jerk.
I know. You know what you need to do? You need to, like... Wait till it's like 2 o'clock in the morning and call me. Wake me up. Eris.
No. I'm going to wait until one of those days that you have to close at work.
Right.
So then you come home, you unwind, take off your shoes, you shower, you lay down. About 1:15, about 1:25, your phone rings.
No, you burst into the room with a metal trash can and a stick.
All right, okay, yeah, I'll do
it. Bang, 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 bang,
bang, bang. I'll get it done. I'll get it done.
Yeah, you better get it done.
Okay, so Justice League, I really like this. It's basically... Batman and Green Lantern are a team up, and they're fighting Superman.
Now, why would you want to do that?
Yeah,
I mean, it's all a big misunderstanding. They figure everything out. A Flash shows up.
Right.
You see a little bit more of Cyborg. He ends up in the explosion at the end. So it's like now he's hurt. He's got to become
the
Cyborg character.
The creation of Cyborg.
I really enjoyed the interaction between Flash and Green Lantern. Mm-hmm. Like, Green Lantern calls up Flash, and he's like, okay, well, Batman's trying to figure this out. He's like, whoa, you're sitting there with Batman? He's like, yeah, and he's a total tool.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just like, I'm waiting for the miniseries, the six-issue series.
The tool series of Batman. The
Batman. Green Lantern and Flash. Mm. Like, I want to see their, like, cross-country in a station wagon drinking, solving crimes miniseries. You know what I mean?
Okay. The Avengers, the regular title. You were always a big fan of the Avengers.
The Avengers, except... first of all, this is...
They're going to get a Bucky replacement?
Avengers is rebuilding the team. They're doing team rebuilding.
Right.
And there's this shot of them in, like, the new Avengers mansion.
Right.
And
they're everybody.
Everybody's there. And I'm looking at everybody in this crowd, and I'm like, these are not Avengers.
No.
All of these characters, like, Immortal Iron Fist is a fine character in certain books. He's not an Avenger. You know what I mean? It's like, this is the problem that Avengers had 5 or 6 years ago when they did the whole Avengers disassembled storyline, is that it was a team full of B-list characters.
Right.
When they redid the Avengers this time, you had your Thor, your Iron Man, your Captain America, and then you had a bunch of heavy hitters alongside of them.
Right.
And now they're going to rebuild them, and it's going to be... Shang-Chi, the Iron Fist, and Squirrel Girl, and...
The room full of...
It's just like, I've lost a lot...
And Luke Cage!
Between the interview issues that they did and this team rebuilding, I'm just kind of like, I don't know if I'm sticking with Avengers anymore.
Right.
It's like, they're falling in the same trap.
ASM, the main title.
Yep, Spider Island.
Oh,
Spider Island was so good.
Isn't this a great cover?
With Mary Jane and the spider. You know, I gotta say, with everything else that's going on in the Marvel Universe, Spider Island did kind of overextend itself, but it's still my favorite.
I think it's kind of carrying it right now.
Big story. I mean, they did too much Cloak and Dagger 3-issue series, Spider-Girl 3-issue series.
Some offshoots.
Yeah, and there was a little too much in the tie-ins and everything like that. But overall, though, I still really enjoyed it.
Fear Itself, Book 7. Yeah.
No point.
Right.
No point.
We're not even talking about it. We're done with Fear Itself. But I wanted to get to this, Batman and Robin.
Good book.
Yeah.
I love Damian.
Yeah.
I mean, he is just such
when he grabs the bat and, like, kills it and throws it down the cave.
Oh, yeah, because you know there's something horrible coming with Damian. Like, that boy's not
right. He's holding back.
He's not right in the worst possible way.
And, you know, they're clueless. Alfred and Batman. Well, Alfred knows.
Well, Alfred
Batman's
knows that something's
ignoring it or, like, you know, putting it off. But
it's like Batman doesn't want to admit what's going on with
his son. And I really like the art. Gleason, Patrick Gleason.
I love the supercharger coming out of the Batmobile.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
But I love the dynamic of father and son.
Right.
I mean, I just think it really works. And like I said before,
completely different relationship than when Dick Grayson
and Damian. Right. Were. But like I was saying though,
I like that art.
It
that
makes
really
the book
good.
Stand nice. Out in my mind. Like, when I think of Batman and Robin, it stands out as a different book from Batman The Dark Knight and from Batman. You know what I mean? Okay. It feels like it's got a reason for being
and who's
there.
This guy again? That, like, comes back and he's, like, killing off the people that they capture?
Oh, you don't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a scene where he, like, grabs a bat, crushes it, pets it, throws it down the cave. Yeah.
George.
Damien's creepy. Like it.
Something's wrong. Something's
okay,
up.
And then, so how about Deadpool 44? Okay, she's the crazy one.
Wait a minute, there's like another one after that?
Oh, did I mix these up? Maybe I haven't read it yet. There's a stack over there I haven't read.
So. And then there's even one more, an upcoming one that I read that's even after that.
Okay, so that's it for me, 10 hours later.
So what's the end of that Deadpool? Is that when she kills herself?
Yes.
And that's as far as you've read?
Yes.
Okay, well, then...
You're ahead of me, then.
I'm actually ahead of you on that one.
Wow.
Because, okay. The next issue that's out, that came out 3 weeks ago.
You can't spoil this one, though, because I haven't read it yet. I don't care about the viewers.
I see. There's an evil Deadpool.
Listeners.
There's a second Deadpool, and he's evil. There, I spoiled
it. Oh, no, I knew about that. Oh, no, I have read that issue, then. It's just not in the stack.
Well, then, what's...
I don't know.
You're weird.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, a couple things I want to talk about. First of all, there was a book came out from Action Lab... small press company. It was called Snowed In, and it was a black and white comic, $3.99, super glossy paper, really, you know, nicely done book. And it's basically about, you know, group of teens go up to the cabin in the woods, they're in a snowstorm, they're stuck there, and this girl's ex-boyfriend shows up. He had no idea that they were at the cabin, which, of course, you know, the new boyfriend doesn't buy into and all that kind of stuff. And he's like, it's after us. And they're like, what's after us? And he won't say anything else. So, of course, windows start breaking. People start disappearing. Guys are going crazy. And it just becomes that whole, you know, is there really something else there? Is this guy messing with them? Is there, like, some sort of evil? Or are people just going crazy, stir crazy in the cabin? Mm-hmm. It's one issue,
it's like
one shot.
It's a scary movie. It's a scary movie.
Yeah, and it was really well done. I really enjoyed it. It was one of those books I really didn't expect
like
a lot
of.
There's
a guy out on the phone. Going,
but I enjoyed it.
I know you're there.
It's coming from inside the house.
Did you read the new Avengers Academy?
No.
But all the new teens show up.
No.
Okay, well, they're doing team rebuilding in that one as well. And they're basically just getting a whole bunch of new kids. And kind of... Making
they're
the school
get rid of
bigger.
Vale and
Vale left.
Metal. And...
No. They're Vale decided to leave the team, and she went that jerk
right.
from that point one. But they're just adding a bunch more, basically. Instead of it being like we're going to take this group of kids, it's like anybody who wants training can come and get trained.
Aren't there child labor laws? In this?
No, not at all. Not if they're mutants. No. You can do whatever you want to.
Oh, well,
mutants.
All right.
But one of the books coming out this week. It's a spinoff of Fear itself, but it's actually kind of a good read, which I know. Crazy, right? But it's called Battle Scars Number 1.
Okay.
And Battle Scars is a new limited series that introduces this character. He's a fighter. He's a soldier in Afghanistan. When Fear itself breaks out, he's in Afghanistan. And you see how it affects other parts of the world, like where they're at in the middle of of the war there. And you know, people going crazy, you know, freaking out in the middle of people going crazy and freaking out. So it makes the war, like, that much, you know, more bizarre.
So they're concerned about...
Well, no, the...
Hammer-wielding people?
No, it's the uneasiness that came along with them. Like, if you remember one of the subplots in Fear itself that they actually kind of forgot about and dropped was the idea that everybody had this sense of foreboding and people started getting paranoid.
The fear
of Fear itself they forgot about. Right. Yeah. Well, this is where it went, was into this book. Someone said, oh, hey, you know what? We should probably do a story with that.
Because it is the fear itself.
Where did
it
go?
And so this guy, who's this soldier in Afghanistan, caught in the middle of this fight, finds out that his mother has died. He comes back to attend her funeral, goes to her house afterwards, and finds a bullet casing and this blood smear. And he's like, she was assassinated by a Russian hit squad. No idea why. Why was his mother targeted, you know? He walks outside, and suddenly sniper attacking him, Russian military troops coming after him. He starts fighting them off, kicking ass. Right when they get the better of him, and he's about to go down, Taskmaster shows up.
Huh.
And he gets rid of the Russian dudes, but then he starts taking on Taskmaster, and he can't defeat Taskmaster. No. But then Steve Rogers shows up and goes, I'm glad we got to you in time. You're the key to this whole thing. Let's go. And he's like, I don't know what the heck's going on. I'm just a soldier in a war. And boom, that's the end of the first issue.
Huh.
So it's one of those things where they're setting him up to be something, and there's like this really awesome action story. It's like Commando, you know, like a Schwarzenegger type movie.
Do it now! We must go get to the Java!
Let on some steam, Bennett! But
I'm Steve Rogers, I'm Captain America, you go now!
But it's one of those things where it ended, and I wanted to read the next issue. It works. So Battle Scars coming out this week is definitely one to check out.
Okay.
So I really enjoyed that one.
Anything else?
I mean, I read the next Deadpool, but you haven't read it yet, so we won't talk about that. And
I do.
Talked about Wolverine.
You know why? Because
I started reading Point One.
Yeah, I read Point One.
Did you read that?
Uh-huh.
I started reading it, and I just kind of... There's a lot of sampler stuff in Point One. I guess that's the point of Point One, is it's setting up a whole bunch of new series, but it's just kind of...
Man. That's the Mole Man one, right?
Is that the one with Mole Man? No, that's Avenging Spider-Man.
Okay, sorry.
Point One is the one
I was
that
trying to cram those in before...
Point One had Nova, it had the Defenders.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And it was just kind of one of those things where I read it, and I'm like...
That's the Watcher.
Yeah.
The one with the Watcher.
Yeah, the one with the Watcher. Okay. So I just kind of read it, and I was like, meh, I don't know. We'll check out the individual series, but the Point One doesn't feel like anything special you got to pick up. You know what I mean?
Wasn't it just a one-shot, though?
It's supposed to be... The book that you buy because it lays out what's going to happen in all these new
series. But the new stuff's going to be called Point One?
No.
Well, so it is just a one-shot.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But it doesn't feel like you really have to buy that Point One.
Right. It was just filler.
Yeah.
Didn't really explain anything.
It just didn't seem worthwhile.
Okay.
But Avenging Spider-Man.
That was fun.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That book
actually
comes out this
week. I didn't
quite
finish it before the podcast, but still.
But it's Spider-Man teaming up with Red Hulk. It's got that signature Spider-Man humor where, you know, the battle's over and he said, well, who's going to give me a ride home? And they're all like, not it. Steve Rogers is like,
yeah.
Well, I've got
even
to explain
Thor,
to the authorities.
Thor's like, not it.
Not I. So. But the two of them, it's him and Red Hulk, and it has that humor to it, that Spider-Man humor.
Yeah, he's like, so, should I do like the whole Yoda piggyback thing? And, you know,
you'll just be my abusive boyfriend. And Hulk grabs him by the arm and yanks him as he jumps in the air. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. So I enjoyed Avenging Spider-Man. And I think that's one I'm probably going to
And thanks for the previews.
To reading. So that one comes out this week. Battle Scars, you should pick up. Avenging Spider-Man, you should pick up. Point One, probably let that one pass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you're a big freak for Nova, and you just got to have his six-page sampler.
It was nice
book.
To see Nova in there, but...
Yeah, but, I mean, it's a different Nova, because Nova's dead.
Dead, yeah. Different helmet.
Who ended up getting the helm?
I don't know.
Was it just some dude?
I think it was his brother.
Oh, okay.
So, but anyway. Whatever. All right, well, that's 34 minutes, so we're going to take a break here. And we're going to get some fresh drinky drinks.
Yeah.
And then when we come back, we're going to talk about Harbinger.
Right.
From Valiant. Old book from 92. So,
no, that's a long time ago.
So those of you who are as old as I am and you remember reading it, go dig out your back issues and we'll meet you back here in a minute.
Okay. Hurry up.
Get on it.
You're listening to a podcast on PopCultureNetwork.com. Be sure to head on over to the site at www.PopCultureNetwork.com to check out more podcasts and videos featuring toys, comic books, video games, and all the things you love. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you purchase helps to keep us producing. Just head over to PopCultureNetwork.com and click on Store.
Please,
check it.
You got a big bag of candy.
Oh.
Left over from Halloween? Mm-hmm. Or is this just candy? You just buy candy? You like having big bags of candy sitting around?
It does.
These were in my pockets all day.
Oh, is that why they're all hot and chewy?
Yeah, cargo pants.
Nice. All right, folks, welcome back to Comaholics, segment 2, episode 15.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about Harbinger in just a moment. Beforehand, though, there's something we need to discuss.
Uh-oh. You're giving me that serious look.
It's your alcoholism.
Oh.
We got to talk about this.
Oh.
Damn it.
I knew this was going to be intervention.
I got a phone call on the way over. Told me I had to stop and get beer. And normally, Aris is stocked with beer. But he was running low on beer. How could you be running low on beer?
I'll tell you why. I blame daylight savings time.
Daylight savings time?
I started drinking a little sooner.
Lazy today.
I was drinking a little sooner today because, in my mind, when it was 6:30, it was actually... Or no, when it was... 7:30 in my mind, it was actually only 6:30.
Mm. This morning?
Yes,
a.m. Yes.
So that's when he started drinking. Sun's barely up.
So around 7:30,
I've already
got a buzz.
Well, you know what?
And I don't have very much booze.
Because of that, you must now do penance. Don't open that candy yet.
Oh.
Mm.
You have to do some penance. Sitting right in front of you is a green shot glass.
Oh.
Here's one
after
for you.
I just poured myself like a lick of scotch.
Oh, no.
And here's one for me.
Is this Tequiza?
This is Camarena Tequila.
Ooh, smells really
brought
good.
To you by them.
And these are colorful little shooter glasses.
Gentlemen.
They're plastic.
Tink, tink, tink.
There, let's do it right by the microphone, okay?
Tink, tink, tink.
There you
tink.
Go. You can hear that. So, everybody, take your shot at tequila.
Pour a little tink, tink.
To pour a little tink, tink.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Hey, if I chase a school bus in the morning, I don't want to hear about it, all right?
Oof.
Let's go skitching.
So not only am I going to leave you this bottle of tequila that you will never drink.
Ooh, I get a little shot glass collection.
Yes, I'm also going to leave you these other 7 shot glasses as part of the set. There were 10 shot glasses.
Actually,
we have to drink those before we leave.
Each one.
We have to fill it up, and then we're going to do shots all night. Man. But I never thought I'd say this, but I'd rather have a Busch beer.
So, told you all to go get out your Harbinger issues. Should have been 1 through 6, I believe.
0 through 7.
I'll see. Like I said, 0 through 7.
You were way off.
Well,
way
and
off.
You also get the bonus origins.
Origin of
okay,
Harada.
Right.
Harada, yes.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
All right, so, first
let's
of all.
Let's talk about the writer. Which is an essential part of this. Jim Shooter. Very
Shooters!
Yes.
In honor of the shots we just took, Jim Shooter.
Jim Shooter. Oh, Jim Shooter, everyone. And David Lapin. Lapham.
Right. And who's a guy from Cross.
Right. So, ooh. Big fan already.
Mm-hmm.
Shooter is a major player in the Marvel world.
He was the Marvel editor-in-chief for a while.
Yeah.
He left. Basically, here, just a little bit of history. Marvel Comics was actually up for sale in, I think it was like 88,
mm-hmm.
or is that what it was? And he put together a group of investors that were going to buy Marvel. And they basically lost out to this guy, Ron Perlman, who's like this big-time investor and broker, whatever, I don't know, whatever. So anyway, he had all these people who were going to invest in Marvel, and they couldn't get Marvel. They were outbid. So they said, well, why don't we start our own comic company? So they started Voyager Communications, which started printing Valiant comics, and they went out and they got the rights to a bunch of old characters from Dell and Gold Key, which were Turok and Magnus Robot Fighter.
And Dr. Solar.
And Dr. Solar, Man of the Atom. And they basically created a new universe built around those characters. And Harbinger actually kicked off the universe.
Okay.
And then later they came in with Solar, they had Magnus, and then, you know, a whole bunch of other books. Right. For a while, they were actually fighting with DC to be the number two company.
Really?
They had a huge amount of market share. They were making money hand over fist. But eventually what happened is the investors in the company, they said, okay, we've made a lot of money. We're ready to not be investing in a comic book company anymore. They wanted to pull their money out. And they sold the company to Acclaim, the video game company. And Acclaim just said, well, they wanted to buy it to use the characters to make video games. They didn't care about the comics. And the comics became just kind of this throwaway, you know, bottom barrel thing. And eventually the company folded under Acclaim. But for a while, they were huge in the comic book marketplace for 2 or 3 years. They were like the biggest thing until those investors pulled out. So this was like their kickoff of the Valiant universe and these characters. And this, you know, at the time, this is when I started really collecting comics in earnest, was when this happened. So this was like one of the big things for me when I, you know, really got into buying comics.
So Harbinger, in a nutshell, the whole premise is there's an organization called the Harbinger Foundation that is seeking out
gifted
people. They're putting ads in newspapers and you know, silently advertising to try to reach out and get people to send letters of their experiences of being awakening with all these superpowers.
And basically in this universe, there are people that have like a little touch of an ability.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have a little bit of a sixth sense or something, but they don't really, it doesn't really manifest itself.
Or make sense to them.
Right. But this guy, Harada, he has the ability to basically reach into their mind and flip the switch.
Right.
And then turn on their power.
As does Pete.
Yeah. And so Pete is this kid who realizes he has this ability. He signs up with the Harbinger Foundation and then discovers that this guy is evil. This guy is pure evil.
Right.
And he's going to try to take over
the world. He kills his friend.
Kills his best friend. Well, the Harada and the Harbinger group kill his best friend because the best friend has figured out how evil they are. So then Pete decides he's going to start stealing these files and hunting other people down, flipping the switch.
It reminds me of, like, the New Mutants, sort of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and I kind of also had the feeling with when Norman Osborn was doing the whole initiative.
Okay.
And, you know, the Young Avengers.
It's the pre-Avengers Academy before Avengers Academy.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they were doing it 20 years ago.
Right.
You know.
And basically, the whole principle is it's very much like Avengers Academy in the sense that it's a bunch of coming-of-age teenagers, which is funny. Side note, asterisks, quotation marks, morning glories coming up soon. Okay.
Also a teenage book.
Yes.
Yeah.
With a lot of similarities. I didn't, you know, that was a random occurrence. So anyways, this story is just an evolution of those people, these kids learning their superpowers and their place in the group.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of naive
that you've seen.
Yeah. There's a lot of naive behavior going on with the kids. And also what I thought was funny, there's also like
discovering their own.
There's a lot of cheesy pop culture references in the parts of the time.
They're outdated. Yeah.
Yes, there was a Farfanugan reference in there. I'm like, he really said Farfanugan.
I remember those ads.
Yeah. And then what's the dude, they all have like their like thing they say when they're like to march off into combat and the
big nothing's better than a bud.
Yeah, nothing's better than a bud. It's like, wow. Yeah. And the artwork is very 80s. Very,
yeah.
The artwork does evolve. I mean, like, especially, like, the lettering is god awful in the first issue.
Yeah. No,
it like,
gets better.
It looks like it was just somebody on their lunch break, you know, writing in the letters. And then
well,
it,
what I was reading back in the olden days,
yeah.
You know, that's what it looked like.
And then it definitely gets
but
better.
But for me, that was
on.
Kind of a nostalgia to, like, read. Because it reminded me of Swamp Thing.
Oh, okay.
The artwork kind of reminded me of, like, you know, that era.
It also...
Okay, see, yeah, I read the Swamp Thing.
It also retains that classic kind of storytelling thing where nowadays you pick up an issue of a comic and there's maybe 4 panels on the page, maybe 6 panels on the page. You got a lot of 2-page spreads,
right.
A lot of full-page splashes.
No, this is a
and
lot
no, this
of intricate
is a busy
dialogue.
Book.
Yeah,
it's
this
very
is,
busy.
This is a lot of
how
story.
How many pages is in this?
This yeah,
I read this
a
just
lot.
This morning. I read a little bit last night and then this morning.
200.
I made my wife and kids wait for me to finish this before we went shopping.
Can't you see I'm reading?
Actually, I took it with us. We were at Shields,
yeah.
And I just sat down at the bench. I was like, all right, well, you guys go play over there.
Me
I'm going to read
George
this.
Washington.
So, okay, well, one, I mean, the artwork definitely evolves as you go through the book. Like, you can tell that he's getting
okay.
a lot more comfortable.
Can we try to go through the characters real quick? You got Zephyr, who they call Zeppelin.
Zeppelin. She's the fat girl who can
she
fly.
She can fly.
Right.
There's,
but is she that fat? She maybe
she's
a little
kinda curvy.
Thick. She's a little thick.
She's got a pretty face.
Well, you know that. And they fly around in
okay.
the Mustang.
Yeah, and then there's the southern gal that always likes to wear pink.
Flamingo. God. She catches on fire.
And then there's the girl that doesn't have any superpowers.
Cat.
Well, the boy.
She's
girlfriend.
Pete's girlfriend. Pete. They actually call Sting.
Sting.
Because
right. when he enters people's minds and he pulls himself out of their minds, because he can like take over someone's mind and make them
do whatever
do stuff
right.
and retain what they're what's
right.
in their head at that moment.
Right.
So, and then...
And he's very, well, he's much more powerful.
And then there's
the
really
that.
Super strong guy.
Torque.
Right.
The big dumb Torque can't read.
Right. And then that's basically your team.
Give me a beer, baby.
And I also have to say the storytelling also started out a little wonky.
Dull. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of
cheesy.
Awkwardness.
It was like awkward cheesy.
Yeah, a lot of one-liners that they kind of throw out, whatever. And then as it goes along...
Sugar.
It kind of grabs that pace. Because, like, I remember there's a point at the beginning where they're like, at the doctor's house or whatever. And it's like they're having this conversation and suddenly out of nowhere, Zephyr's just like, oh, a Super Nintendo!
Yeah.
And then it's like
whoa.
3 more panels. And she's like, who wants to play Super Mario World with me? And it's like, why is this thrown in the middle of this conversation? You know what I mean? It just, it takes a while.
I think they
for
were trying
to,
I think the reason why they did that was to show that they're just kids, you know?
Well, no, I understand that. I'm just saying, like, the way the dialogue of that page was going
right.
together, and then suddenly
flow.
She's like yelling out,
well, look,
like, oh,
I mean,
Super Nintendo.
If you have no point of reference, and you read the dust jacket of this book, I mean, it tells you that this series...
We got a big
changed,
bag of candy, folks, here, so I apologize.
This series changed the face of comics.
Right.
And you're going...
It was much
okay,
more realistic.
Super Nintendo, all right.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's another thing.
Changed what?
I was reading a book this last week. I don't even remember. Oh, Green Arrow. I was reading the latest Green Arrow, and I'm sorry, but I read the latest Green Arrow.
Right.
And on it, the guy was like, he's transmitting this video over the internet, and he's like, pull it up on your smartphones, your PCs, your Q-pads. Because they don't want to say iPads, because
right.
that's a copyrighted thing, whatever.
Right.
But it's like, really? Is Apple going to sue you because you say the word iPad? No, they're not going to. That's so retarded. But they do it anyway, all the time. This is one of these first books where it's like, CNN.
Yeah,
not
say,
CBN or
right.
CDN or
right.
you know, DNN. It's actually it's CNN. It's Super Nintendo. It's you know they're not afraid
right.
to actually
well,
mention
there's no product placement at the time.
Right, and they're not afraid to say the name of an actual product. Whereas
right.
in 2011, DC Comics won't say iPad.
They're paying people to scan this anything to find the copyright infringements.
I have a question.
Well,
there's a lot of that that goes on.
Yeah. You're more familiar with Shooter's work.
Mm-hmm.
So, where is this in his timeline, his career, his influences, and where this directed him in Marvel?
It's after Marvel.
Right. Okay. Let me rephrase that. Where did he continue on from here?
Well, basically, when the investors started like putting all this pressure on him because they wanted out, whatever, and they were selling it to the video game company, he got pushed out because he was always like, the comic has to be
right
number one, characters have to be number one, and they weren't interested in that, whatever. So he actually left, started another company called Defiant, started a whole new universe of characters. It made a whole bunch of money, but again, he was doing it with other people's money, and right. The other people, I don't remember what exactly happened. They got greedy, whatever, pulled out. So then he made another deal with a company called Broadway Video, who was big in the VHS sales, and started Broadway Comics, and then the VHS market tanked because DVDs came out. And then suddenly he was floating nowhere, and he just kind of drifted around for several years.
So for a guy that wrote a book about a comic book characters that are on like the cutting edge of technology and experiencing the wave of the future, he couldn't quite grasp that VHS wasn't going to last.
I guess not.
Sorry.
But I mean, he's
no offense, Mr. Shooter.
He was a guy that was in the comics industry for a long time, and he's back now doing Magnus, Solar, Turok, and Samson for Dark Horse.
So I guess that was my ultimate question.
Yeah.
Where is he now? Where's
He's working with those characters for Dark Horse.
Dark Horse.
Now, the funny thing is, Valiant, a group of investors again got back together. They started Valiant Communications, I think it's called, or Valiant Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Bought the copyrights back. They're going to relaunch a bunch of the books, but they can't use Solar, Magnus, Turok.
What's left?
Harbinger. Exo Manowar was another big one. Ninjak, Archer and Armstrong, Eternal Warrior, Rai. So there's a whole bunch of other characters, and they actually just did this big Q&A thing this last week on Facebook, answering fan questions. And fans were like, well, you don't have those characters that were kind of key characters to Valiant in the first place. Are you just going to come up with other characters?
Right.
You know, that are just going to fill those roles. So instead of being Dr. Solar, it's going to be, you know, Dr. Sunshine. You know what I mean? is that what it's going to be? And they said, well, you know, at the core of Valiant was always character-driven.
Dr. Isotope.
Stories. So they say they have new characters that are going to, you know, mix in with those familiar faces.
Right.
But those characters that they do have the rights to that are not those big four, or those big three, technically, you know, they'll find new characters to basically take their place.
Hmm.
But anyway, back to Harbinger. Now, you hadn't read any of this. You
nope.
didn't know about any of this history.
I knew nothing of it.
So what did you think just reading the story?
What'd you think?
I read it before, but they were different people. Now, ask me who it was before. I can't tell
you. It felt like a familiar story?
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of familiar archetypes.
But was it familiar with anything that you think would have come out before 20 years ago?
20 years prior?
Or does it feel like people in the last 20 years have redone this, been influenced by this?
I don't know. I just...
Because, like, I can feel some red...
Like I said, Avengers Academy.
Well, yeah, but that's 20 years later.
Okay, you're saying 20 years before?
Well, what I'm saying is, like, this feels familiar, but it feels familiar in Avengers Academy, it feels familiar in Red, it feels familiar in some of the Teen Titans stuff they've been doing recently, Morning Glories. But does it feel like, can you think of anything that's at least 20 years old, if not older?
I see what you're getting at.
That feels like this.
No, this was definitely a change in its
time. I mean, when you put it in the context of the time, it feels like something fresh and new and original.
It was a change.
And it feels like a lot of things have been influenced by this. Like, this is one of those albums that you run across. Like, you find some vinyl record from 1963.
Like,
and
that
sounds
this like an influence of blah, blah, blah.
Like, that's how Bob Dylan found that sound. You know what I mean?
Well, and there's some more realistic violence. And,
there's the computer hacker that they burn his nuts off.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
that
kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, when somebody...
And then she
knees somebody
him again
gets
in
shot.
The nuts.
Somebody gets shot and
oh yeah, a character actually dies.
Right.
One
of the characters
actually
dies.
The big
do we want to spoil this? It's a 20-year-old story.
Are we doing spoilers? I mean, it's 20 years old.
Yes, I think we can do
my
a
God.
Spoiler.
Well, okay, so Musclehead dies. Thank God.
Torque.
I got Reed.
Right. Well,
see you later, Pipsqueak.
Now, on the other hand,
give me a beer.
Valiant is also the company to blame for variant covers, chromium covers.
Hmm. Awesome.
3D comics, that's cool. Making their return, all that kind of stuff. They got big into all that kind of stuff, too.
That helped sales.
Oh, it made them a lot of money, I can tell you that much.
Well, okay, I can appreciate that.
Like when you show me those Tron covers of
the Tron variants?
New Avengers and something else.
Wolverine.
Very cool.
Yeah. So anyway, I really enjoyed this. It was a lot of fun to read it again. Like I said, it's been like 20 years since I read it. And I really want to try to dig out some of the other Valiant trades. Because somewhere I've got original ones that came out in the mid-90s. What?
I just got done reading, I forgot to talk about it, the stuff I just recently read.
Okay.
The Longest Halloween.
Okay.
Batman.
All right. Can you tie that into Harbinger?
Well, I think there's a lot of similarities in the art and the writing. Yeah.
In the art?
Well.
Is it of the time period?
No, it's not.
I want to hear how you can tie the Long Halloween into Harbinger.
All right. I guess I can't cross that bridge.
All right. Back across.
You're just upset that you didn't think of the Long Halloween when you're talking about stuff you just read.
I spent a lot of time reading it, too.
We'll talk about the beginning of the next segment before we get into Syndrome.
Okay.
But back to Harbinger.
What do you think about Dr. Solar's appearance? Didn't you think it was kind of sudden? A little
it was quick? Like, huh? What?
Well,
what?
That's because, same time, there was a Dr. Solar series going on.
So they just had to tie him in.
And well, that was something that Valiant did a lot, where like a character would appear in a book, and then he'd get his own series. Or he'd have his own series where for a couple issues he's kind of like figuring out who am I, why am I here, blah, 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 what's going on. And then he runs into characters from another book. So Valiant did a lot of that crossover type stuff to it. And so it...
Well, obviously, if they like to add variants and stuff, then crossovers are a must. Right.
And so in here, it's kind of like
it's
came
bowling
out...
for dollars is what they're doing.
Bowling for dollars.
Yeah. I mean, because really, Dr. Solar didn't have to be in there.
Well, but that's kind of the essence, I guess, what you're saying.
I mean,
because
all the only thing
character.
He
just appears.
Well, they also wanted to make it clear that this is one big universe. Like, they're all these books are tied together.
Exactly.
All
but
these
that's kind
exist.
Of a random event just to make it all be like, oh, it's like,
well,
it's like
the bicycle repairman.
Well, no, here's the key.
No. Let me
all right,
talk about the irony of these first, and then you can tell me the key, because I'm the gate master. No, it's like they're telling this story, and it's like, it's moving along, and all of a sudden it's like, Dr. Solar! And Dr. Solar shows up, and really the only thing that...
What?
The
and
only
he's going, th- even he's going, huh?
What? The only thing that he really validates is he just repeats... What's going on? Is all he does. He basically here, do you need a bottle opener?
I don't know. For my twist off?
I don't know. He basically just repeats what's going on in the story and then disappears. And warns them. You know, don't do bad.
Yeah, be good now.
Be good now, I have to
don't
go.
Don't make me come back here.
Okay. Here's the...
Alright, give me my key.
Dallas.
The TV show?
No.
Not the JR, you knucklehead.
When you read through Harbinger, one of the things is it'll say, like, New Orleans. And stuff is set in New Orleans. And it'll say, like, San Francisco. And stuff's happening in San Francisco.
So, Dallas
and then
is
Dallas.
Dr. Solar's...
Dr. Solar, his story takes place in Dallas.
So it'd be like Batman if they, like, showed up in Gotham.
Right. It would just be like, you know...
So that goes back to when
Wonder
you were
Woman,
saying
Wonder Woman goes to Gotham City
universe.
And suddenly Batman shows up.
For me, it was confusing.
Right.
Okay, well, there's... Oh,
but they're in
Dr.
Dallas.
Solar.
So that's
I
what happens.
I just got to suspend disbelief and...
Well, and here's the other thing. The whole Valiant universe, like the backstory of the Valiant universe, is that... It's the regular R universe, right?
Right.
That's how it starts. Dr. Solar is caught in this atomic meltdown, gets all these nuclear powers, and he ends up actually destroying the universe.
Right. Because
he can't control them.
Uh-huh.
And once the universe is destroyed, he goes, oh crap, I gotta fix this. So he tries to rebuild the universe, and he restarts history, and he restarts the Big Bang and everything. And the universe rebuilds itself, but it's just a little bit different. And the little bit different is... Right. The Harbingers. It okay. is the superpowered people.
Okay.
There are no superpowered people
so it's
until
all Dr.
he.
Solar's fault.
So it's his fault. Yeah.
So that's why is he giving them such a hard time? Like,
because
why can't he just back off?
That's why he's like, don't abuse these powers. I'm going to keep an eye on you guys, blah, 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 whatever. Because it's his fault that they even have these powers and that this is what the universe is like now.
And what did you think of the egg beaters? The
egg breakers.
Egg breakers.
Because to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs.
What did you think of the egg beaters?
Well, you know, I mean, they needed a name, that's a name.
I thought it was kind of a weak villain team myself. I'm sorry. If that was like the weakest
Wait a minute. Are you saying a name, a team called the Egg Beaters?
Egg Breakers.
Egg Breakers.
Yeah, the Egg Breakers.
And it's headlined by Eel and
Make
Weasel.
Me an omelet, you
really?
Jackholes.
Okay, here's what I gotta say. My biggest beef about this book. All right. The turmoil between the characters is more important than the villains.
Well, that
the
was...
villains are weak in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're weak. And
they
if you're looking for a story of good guy, bad guy, these are the villains, you know, the villains is like a major presence in the story. You're not going to have that in this. This is more like a coming of age story of like teenagers trying to form a team and don't really understand themselves.
Given right. the incredible powers they have.
Right. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Would you read more of the Valiant Universe?
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
When I read the Dust
of
Jacket...
Of what of it, though?
I read the Dust Jacket...
Like Dr. Solar? I probably would, but I've read... I'm sorry.
Well, I would read Dr. Solar, too, because it was like, wow, here this guy, you know... But with this book, when you read the... You know, I don't know.
Because you have no frame of reference for it.
Right, so I read the Dust Jacket first to get just a little frame of reference.
And he told
and
me,
it's like,
when
wow.
he hands you, read the Dust Jacket.
You read the Dust Jacket, well, this series helped change the face
of comics.
Comics.
Yeah.
And I'm going, wow, okay. And I kept waiting for the wow, okay.
But again, that kind of goes back to the whole idea is that once this came out, everybody did this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, it feels familiar, but it feels familiar from things that have come since then. It doesn't feel familiar with things that you read that are older than that. Mm-hmm. And
that's what I was reading,
right.
though.
Well, because that's like, I remember, I
and,
took my
and
mom.
I was like, okay.
My mom's
but
favorite
this is
movie,
cool, but
my mom's
I read
favorite
this.
Movie of all time is Gone with the Wind, right?
I
went with
that
her.
Movie is
for her birthday one year, I took her to go see Gone with the Wind, okay? I went to see it, and I thought, this movie is so cliche.
Right, it's a
and then
soap,
I have to remember,
opera.
But then I have to remember, wait, this
is
the movie
before.
That made the cliche.
Right.
Like, the cliches
right.
came from this movie.
This is 1939.
Right, like, right. this movie is...
And this is 1991?
92, yeah, somewhere
okay.
there.
Okay. Well, and granted, I was not really in comics that much in this period of time, because new baby, early family...
Right.
distracted from things, you yeah. know, that I used to enjoy when I was younger, comics being one of them. And I thought, well, if this... you know... I read some,
right, well said. Well
I
said.
Read some Arkham stuff where, you know, the Joker, you know, how adult can we get here? Joker was doing awful things to Robin... And I thought, well, that's changing the face of the graphic novel.
Right.
Not that I approve or condone or whatever, but, I mean, you're going to sell books.
Right.
I understand it. This didn't change the face of comics for me, having been a comic reader almost 40 years ago.
Right.
Turok.
You probably read Turok back when it was the Gold Key and Whitman comics.
Right.
Right, when they were doing the original Star Trek series and
right.
Turok.
And Turok did change the way I read comic books, because before, you know...
Right. But, you know, it's going back and watching The Honeymooners. Or going back and watching
there
Citizen
you
Kane.
There
you
go. You
know what I mean?
There you go.
It's like... One of my favorite movies is 2001 Space Odyssey. But so
I
many people, they
I
can't
it.
Watch
I
it now.
I have to make a sandwich after I watch that movie.
Like, attention
like,
spans.
Like, no, in the middle of the movie, I have to make a sandwich.
Right. Attention spans have changed.
And
special effects have changed.
In the oven.
Right.
you know.
But I mean, can appreciate the relaxation on the eyes and just enjoy it. And
like, but the idea of that type of visual eye candy and the special effects had just absolutely never been done before. And so it did it, and then everybody started doing it.
And then
special effects became secondhand. Nowadays, special effects mean nothing. You know? I mean, when you think about movies, like horror movies, part of the fun of a horror movie, you watch someone get stabbed in the head, and you go, wow, that looked real. How do they do that? Because I know someone didn't actually die. Nowadays, you see someone get stabbed in the head, and you go, oh, it was CGI. You know, I'm sure.
Yeah, right.
You know, whatever. Exactly. It's like, who cares? Exactly. It doesn't even matter. Before, it was part of the trick, and now it's just like, eh.
Maybe that's why, going back to the Walking Dead TV show, I think that's why I've like kind of like this romantic fantasy with the show, because it's on a low budget, or pretty low budget for a...
It's not $7 million an episode or anything like that.
No. And, I mean, I know you haven't seen yet, so this last episode...
I've read the comics, so, okay, you know, whatever.
But there's a scene where, like, they pull, like, this zombie out of a well, because they don't want it to be contaminated. And they've got a noose around its neck, and they pull it all the way up, and they finally, when it finally gets to the top of the well, it separates into like this.
Contaminates the well anyway.
Yeah.
Which is probably already contaminated, because right, there's a damn five zombie wells soaking in it.
But, you know, you never know.
Ancient all right, this Chinese is our pop culture banter part of the show.
If you get a Brita pitcher.
But, like, when it, like, separates, right, and, like, the body comes apart and unravels... I don't know how much CGI is involved. But
there was
very...
a ton there. There was a lot of it.
It looks very...
There were some very broad exterior shots where the CGI... But you know what? It's a great show.
Right. And I guess what I'm getting at is there's a way to still...
suspend disbelief a little
well,
bit.
Well, but I mean, it's like... This was one of those first books where it wasn't... a guy in a suit who fights bad guys. No. It was a person who had a family and a history and makes connections with other characters. Right. You know what I mean? So it's not about, because you said earlier, it's not about the good guys going out and beating up the bad guys. And that was never the point. It's like, there's a guy trying to live his life, and now his life is screwed up, and he's trying to take care of it the best way he knows how.
Right.
And that just happens to be a guy who can reach into other people's minds, and now he's fighting bad guys. You know what I mean? It's like,
you know, it'd be great.
The fight wasn't the point.
I haven't read any of the other stuff, but it'd be great if what's the main character's girlfriend's name again?
Kat. Luke Skywalker.
Wouldn't it be great if like Kat? Well, there's some funny Star Wars references in there. I haven't read any of the other issues, but it'd been a great spinoff is if Kat was pregnant from. Torque.
Oh, from Torque.
Yeah, right. And now he's dead.
She was all like,
and now he's dead.
She was all jacked up because
you know that's just me
died
thinking outside the box.
That's like a Robert Kirkman Walking Dead twist.
No. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean,
in fact, I thought that was the way it was going to go. Maybe it's because I've been reading a lot of Walking Dead lately, even though that happened way back in like issue.
Well, but I mean, he does stuff like that though. Sets up that drama.
But I mean, he's also like, you know, Luke Skywalker was the same guy.
Mm.
You know, didn't know who he was, where he came from, what his powers
were. Yeah, but this guy's...
And then discovers who he is.
But this guy's not trying to go out to get power converters!
Well, there were times where he was a little...
Yeah.
Will you go out with me? You know, no, I wouldn't go out
with
you.
What was the price on this hardcover? $24.95. 200 pages.
That bonus material that hadn't been collected.
It's worth the price.
I was going to say, yeah. And the Harada episode, okay.
It is a piece of history. I think that, you know, I think as a comic book reader, you should have picked this up at some point. You know.
It's something that you should have in your collection. You should be familiar with it. You should. Like, this is part of Comics 101.
Right.
This is probably second semester Comics 101.
And again, beautifully bound, printed, executed.
High quality hardcover.
Absolutely.
What's underneath the sleeve? I didn't even see.
Oh, I mean, look at that.
Okay, yeah.
That's gorgeous.
There's a big, bold logo.
That's very gorgeous.
It also kind of has that, like, textbook.
So who's releasing this now if Valiant does not exist anymore?
Well, it's Valiant Entertainment.
Oh, okay. It's probably some subsidiary.
Because, like I said, originally it was Voyager Communications. Now it's Valiant Entertainment, Inc. Hmm. Company owns and manages some of those popular comic characters ever created. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so. So they still have
Exo Manowar, Bloodshot, Harbinger, Eternal Warrior, Dr. Mirage, Ninjak, Shadow Man, Rai, Quantum, and Woody. In fact, Shadow Man had a TV show.
Right.
It was like on the USA Network or something that, late at night. Guy played the saxophone and.
Oh, God. Yeah, I saw that. Oh, my.
So he was one of theirs.
Okay.
So you had that going for him.
Yeah.
And then Exo Manowar.
Was this given to us for a review?
No. No. This is one I purchased. But Exo Manowar did a crossover with Iron Man. And got a video game.
Okay.
So there you go. All right.
So there you go. There's Harbinger.
We
I recommend you know, like we said, it's kind of like a staple classic. It's you know, if you want to read a good Hitchcock. No, it's not a Hitchcock. What I'm saying is, like, if you want to read like. You want to read like a good
the archetypes.
If you
want to
read the Maltese
of
Falcon
age.
Of comic books.
Yes. There you go. For this era,
right.
We should say.
Right.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for segment two. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have a short conversation about Batman Long Halloween.
Right.
Because someone just couldn't get it in segment one because he had too much stuff to talk about. Because he's got to go through his whole stack. And then we're going to talk about Syndrome, the hardcover from Archaea. So stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back. With your mom.
What it is, friends. Sween Hollick here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, Vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk at www.radicalretro.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody, and we're back. Mm-hmm. Segment 3, come on, it's 15. And the Apocalypse wanted to start this one off talking about Batman Long Halloween. So go, hit us up, talk about Batman, go ahead.
Talk about Batman Long Halloween while he's chewing on Tootsie Rolls. Leftover.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead, Apocalypse. You want to talk about? You got 3 seconds.
Apocalypse.
Talk about Batman. We're going to turn it off.
Okay.
Three,
all right.
Two,
no,
one.
No. I'm here. I'm here.
Oh.
Oh.
That's going to
You
hurt.
Made me swallow that whole Tootsie Roll.
Oh, that's going to leave
Thanks
a mark.
Thanks a lot.
He just put this massive Tootsie Roll in his mouth.
Right before he hit
it
play.
About the size of a raccoon arm.
No, about like...
With an apple in its fist.
I don't see what the big deal is. No, I was... flipping through some archives.
Back issues.
Some back issues. And picked up The Longest Halloween. Really enjoyed it.
All right, what's it about?
It is about the holiday killer that Batman is investigating. And this killer kills on holidays, starting from Halloween to Halloween. It's like Halloween to Halloween. So it's like a year-long story. It involves a gambit of characters, including the Riddler.
A gambit of characters?
Yes.
Not a gambit of characters.
Gambit.
Not a gambit,
gambit
of characters.
Why, see, you what? The listeners probably would have never noticed this stuff. And you
hey,
have
if
to,
they're sharp, they're going
to
know
have to
that
spell
there
check
a
my ass.
Character named
okay.
Gambit, all right?
Yeah.
Play along, Eros.
Anyways. So, there's the Penguin, there's the Riddler... there's Scarecrow,
Catwoman.
Isn't
Zazz's in this?
Yeah, briefly, I think.
Zazu Pitts.
Yes, and it starts out that one of the Roman family, the Roman mafia
family.
Is like, you know, he's like this big mafia family.
He's the godfather.
Yes, he's like the untouchable mafioso in Gotham City. And his son is murdered. And then that starts on Halloween. And then from that point on, every holiday, there's a murder. And there's a 13-issue series, so there's 13 holidays. I'm sure they skip a couple of... wonky holiday.
There's no right. Massive murder or Martin Luther King
Day.
Or
something.
Right.
You know, it's like, what is it?
The Groundhog Day killer has struck again.
No, so you've got, what, it goes into Christmas and then it goes into Valentine's
Day. Well,
it's
Thanksgiving,
Day.
Christmas.
Yeah,
what,
Thanksgiving, Christmas.
President's Day?
Yes, there's no President's Day.
What?
But there's like a Father's Day, there's a Labor Day, there's a... jeez.
Mother's Day, maybe?
I don't remember if there is a Mother's Day murder.
Well, if there's a Father's
Day... Arbor Day.
There better be a Mother's Day.
Arbor Day.
Arbor Day.
We hung him from a tree. Arbor Day.
No, it's a great... It's a great Detective Comics-ish murder mystery story. The Riddler's involved. Like, he's trying to figure it out. He's all upset because he can't figure it out. He thinks he has to figure it out. The Joker's pissed because he doesn't want anybody to trump him. And
right, this guy's getting the headlines. And,
yeah. So, there's a lot of really great issues. Like, every issue has this, like, great spinoff. Poison Ivy's in it. The Penguin's in it.
So it's like a love story to the whole Batman mythos.
It is great. if you like Batman just a little bit, you need to read The Longest Halloween. Really good.
How long did it take you to read it? I mean, did you read it? Do you like sit down and read it straight through?
I took my time and read one issue at a time and just absorbed it. And the twist at the end is monumental, and it'll...
Does it make sense?
Yes, it does.
Because sometimes they put a big twist at the end, and you're like, never saw that coming.
Because you find out that... Well, I mean, I guess I'm... I don't know how much about this. I don't want to spoil... I don't want to... Actually, no, I do not want to spoil Longest Halloween, because it does impact your whole perception of the story. So let me tell you, it's got a great twist... It is an investigative story to track this, you know, holiday killer down. It's basically also the evolution of how Two-Face becomes Two-Face, too.
Oh, Harvey Dent.
Yeah, Harvey Dent. Harvey Dent's like a major focus point in this. I'm also trying to kind of tap dance around... I know a lot of our listeners are very experienced and well-versed.
They probably read it readers.
Yeah, they've read it already, so that's good. But, you know, for you new guys out there, definitely go pick it up. It's a must. I enjoyed it. What was it? It's Loeb and...
Tim Sale.
Sale.
Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale.
Yeah. And they also do another series, which I'm getting ready to read. We talked about earlier. What is it? It's like a continuance of this.
Dark Victory?
Dark Victory. Yeah. That's it. I just want to talk about that because that was like it actually tied up enough of my time that I have. That's why I'm a little bit behind on my current issues. Normally, I'm not the behind one. Usually, it's him. This man right over here.
What can I say? I got a big behind.
So well, I can't see you pointing at
so I'm in his rear. The rear view mirror podcasting. This evening because I spent a lot of time. Focusing on The Longest Halloween, which I think...
But it's well worth it.
Yes.
All right.
Do you agree? You liked it?
I don't know if I ever finished it, actually, to be honest.
Really?
Because I started reading it when it came out, and it was one of those things that it came out... Like, it took so long for it to come out
other
that...
things.
I think I just lost track of it over time. Okay. I think I also had a kid, maybe, during part of that, and that kind of got in the way.
Yeah.
Maybe, so...
Those kids...
Mm-hmm. So it's one. I'll go back. Now that you've read it, I'll go back and read them.
You should.
And then I'll tell you how wrong you are. Wrong! This is the worst thing I've read since Fear Itself.
Okay, and this has no real attachment to what I'm really going to talk about in this second segment, which is...
Syndrome.
Okay?
All right.
Syndrome.
From Arkea's Black Label. Which the Black Label, they do... they work a lot with people in Hollywood...
Damn it! Excuse me.
And people in movie and television production, that's what the Black Label's for, is to kind of work with those type people. So they sat down this time. They are working with Blake Leibel, I guess is how you pronounce it. Mm-hmm. He wrote for the Spaceballs animated series cartoon show.
Missed that.
Yeah, it's a really big mismatch of like... Hollywood writers, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
Which brings me to some of my criticism about this book.
But here's how it ties in. Wait, this is how it ties in with Batman: The Long Halloween. David Lanfear is a veteran designer and comic book letterer whose credits include Batman the Long Halloween.
There you go.
Ah! So, the same guy who lettered Batman Long Halloween lettered Syndrome, a graphic novel from Arkea's Black Label.
And he would have to have some attachment to something great because I'm not a big fan of Syndrome. I'm sorry, I'm not.
Okay, well here, go ahead and say your piece.
Let me look at it.
It's an oversized hardcover.
Yeah.
It's a little taller. It's actually a couple inches taller and a little bit wider than your regular comic. So it does have a bigger feel to it.
Okay. The basic story is this starving actress girl is picked up by this major producer and
hired by
the government.
Well,
or something.
Some entity.
Oh, no, some rich guy, an entrepreneur, to create this stage environment where they take serial killers, semi-brainwash them, convince them they're back in their natural environment, and hire these actors and actresses to play out their murder scenes so that way they can bring out those emotions. Hold on, let me finish. I think I'm on the right track. These emotions, the synapse and dendrites in their brains, so they can figure out the trigger point as to what makes them do it, because the main scientist that's funding, or that's the main side, the lead chief scientist or whatever you call him.
Not the funding guy.
No. His whole premise is that it's not an imbalance or a sickness, it's a disease. It's a curable disease.
It's not psychological.
Yes.
It's chemical.
Right.
Psychopathic slaughtering of other human beings is a curable affliction.
And it's based what he's trying this to character, do, this girl that they
right,
hired.
Right, well, the girl is hired to be part of this, basically the Truman Show, mm-hmm. for serial killers.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're doing is they're trying to change the environment to find a trigger of empathy mm-hmm. within right. the killers. Once they find what that trigger of empathy is, they're trying to synthesize a drug
right.
that they can inject into these people to make them feel empathetic towards other human beings and not be a mass murderer.
And it's based around this one psycho killer that they've supposedly given lethal injection to.
Right.
They faked his death and then haul him away to this underground facility. Am I get the synopsis of it?
Yeah, that's basically
correct.
There's some shock factors in there. There's some ravaged death scenes. Some very violent scenes. But, you know, that's appealing to me. I like that kind of artwork.
I purposely left it laying around the house when I was reading it.
And what for?
So when company would come by...
It was a talking piece?
They would see it, the and they would go... Oh my god, and they would look at the cover.
The cover is disturbing. In fact, I took this to work, and I hid the cover part.
It's a baby doll, and half his head is cut away, and you can see the brain inside the baby doll. And it looks like a very real brain inside a really fake, cutesy mm-hmm. baby
right,
doll.
Cutesy baby doll. But people did thumb through it and go, oh, well, that's kind of interesting. So they might have wanted to read it, had I been able to loan it to them to read it.
That goes back to the whole Arkea, you've got books on the bookshelf, it's got to stand
it's
out.
It's got to pop.
It's got to stand right. out different. It's a very distinctive
when
looking book.
It's on the
Salvador
panel,
Dali almost.
I mean, the size makes it stand out, the color scheme makes it stand out. And definitely the picture on the front. If you see this,
I've seen this at Barnes & Noble. It's,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, it's something
it's
that catches your eye.
On the shelf.
Yeah, definitely. As far as the story goes, I felt like this was a 2.5 hour movie storyline given to you in a 30-minute TV show.
Right.
This could have been like a good Twilight Zone. But not the Twilight Zone.
It felt like
a
movie
screenplay.
It felt like a movie screenplay to me.
But to me, it felt like when you watch something like Law and Order or CSI or Blue Bloods or one of those cop shows, it seems like a lot of times they take plots from an actual movie, like an hour and a half movie, mm-hmm. and they distill it down to a TV show. Once you take out commercials of a TV show, you got like 42 minutes.
Right.
So they take a 90-minute movie. And they make it into a 42-minute television show. And that's kind of what I felt here. Right. It's like there's so many things that it just kind of rushes past. And it's like you get 2 pages of a flashback that could have been a whole issue of something. When they're like building this whole thing, you get like 4 whole pages of them building this town. And that's all you really see of the undertaking of building this entire town, you know, to scale, to look like his childhood home.
Well, the whole story, the whole backstory behind the movie producer they hire, too.
Yeah, right. And that's another thing, is that it's this actress, the story of this actress, and she meets this guy, and then it has to flash back and tell that guy's story. And on the one hand, it's like, okay, well, it's interesting to see how he's brought into it. But on the other hand, it's like, it felt like that also kind of took away... The killer should have been more of the focus. Like, I didn't really care about this set designer,
they
producer.
They made his personality some part of...
Well, they made
essential
him so
nasty,
you didn't care about him.
Right.
You know.
Well, they made him like they
He's
made
like
the
a
producer...
Simon Cowell son of a bitch, you know.
Right. Right.
So...
But then they gave him weight. They gave the character weight in the story, and then they let it go.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
And they left it so open at the end.
Well, yeah.
Okay, well, the first one was a flop. I got another one we can work on.
Right.
Okay, well...
It just, you know, again, it felt like one of those things, there's a story here, but they didn't execute it the way it needed to be done.
How'd you feel about how they ended up with the serial killer? Scrubbing toilets with a lobotomy.
Oh, after the, like, final page, he's the...
When I was a young man, we read it. It was a book, Well, it was made into a movie with Cliff Robertson called Charlie, where they took a retarded man, did something to him.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
In an Flowers for Algernon.
Okay,
was the name of the book.
Yeah.
They made him, somehow they made him super intelligent, but the process of making him super intelligent...
Made him really simple?
Would make him even more simple or kill him.
Right. Okay, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know... In a way.
And you know what? The weight of the story itself wasn't... It didn't really grab me. I don't know. I just wasn't that...
Well, parts of it grabbed
like,
me. All right,
here's the part.
Like,
here's
well,
the part.
Then it did,
no
didn't develop
no
it.
One character was like, oh, I'm launched. I'm locked.
Right.
I'm locked onto that character.
Right.
Like, at first it was like, oh, it's the girl.
And then it's the producer.
Oh,
then
it's
the doctor.
It's the doctor.
Right.
Or
right.
It's a serial killer, you know? And like, none of it, like, was... It didn't stick with me, you know? Didn't stick to my ribs. It
and, well, and also, part of the problem is, like, the final part of the story where they're like, Kane? He cleans our toilets. He's very good at it.
Exactly. That's what
and
I
it's,
was pointing out. How did you feel about that ending?
Well, and it's like, no point of that, like, puts chills down my spine.
Hey, for you listeners, a side note... If we give away a lot of spoilers, it's probably because we don't like it and we don't think you should read it.
It's because the spoilers
but
don't
you're certainly
make
welcome
the
to try
yeah,
it.
You're certainly welcome to try it, but the reason why we're giving you the spoilers is just go ahead and save you a few bucks and just let you...
I mean, again, there's something to the basis of the story that's
in a way, I liked it because there could be something here.
Felt like they just like did like this is a
right.
pilot.
Right. Well, it's one of those things. Whenever someone's working on a script, they always have to do rewrites.
Right.
You know, like, well, you need at least 2 rewrites on it. And someone would say, well, you know, what's the point of doing a rewrite? You're just going to clean up the dialogue? Well, no, it's to change. You're going to read through it and go, oh, you know what? The third act really does kind
of
fall apart.
So you think this felt like the rewrite of something?
Well, no. This felt like it needed a rewrite. Like, this was the first draft.
Okay.
Like, someone had this story, and they put it together for this, but if someone was going to make a movie, they would read it and go, yeah, we're going to change this part, we're going to change this part, and we're going to change this character's motivations. And then they're going to give it to somebody else who's going to take it and go, okay, but we're changing the setting of this part, we're changing his backstory to put it back here. You know what I mean? Like, it needed... This is the raw... script idea that they turned into this comic.
They call it.
Right. This needed a lot more polish and reworking.
Right.
And the structure of the story needed some big changes to keep you going all the way through it.
Now, if you want to see a lot of hacking and slashing and boobies, it's there.
And it's...
Yeah, there's a naked, headless body that's a nice-looking body.
It's beautifully bound. It's beautifully put together. It's a, you know...
The coloring is really nice on it. The artwork's a little simple in places, but
well,
overall it's pretty
cover,
good.
The cover, the flat, and the gloss. I mean, you know, that's...
I mean, it's a well-made book.
I thought that the frames were very simple. You know, not a lot of complexity there. You know, mostly it's just like right across the page, but, left to right.
But it does, you know, the rules we talked about is setting up the pages. You've got the whole, you know, the whole page here. It's drawing you to the middle. Then here he's kind of looking that direction. Now he's kind of looking that direction. You see the picture of here. The stuff in his hands kind of pulls back this way.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
yeah, visual pathway.
The page
works. I
think they
took the easy way out, though.
Well, like I said, it's very simple in a lot of spaces, but it still works. It's not like reading The God Machine that punishes you for looking at each page. Each page of The God Machine punches you in the nuts and says, why are you reading?
No, don't go there where I have my good collection. All right, everybody, Dirt, like, he like looked up at, like, my boxes.
Where your comics are, right.
To think that The God Machine was over there. No, it's packed away over here.
Is it with the previews?
Other side of the room, yeah.
Where you put the disposable catalog books?
If I ever run into Chandra Free, she's probably going to slap me.
No, just say that. Here's your book back. Wait, didn't you buy this? Yeah. I even had you sign it for me, but that's
okay. Good luck, darling.
You can keep it. So overall, like I said, I was just so disappointed. Because especially when it got to the end and I just kind of felt like you could have done so much more with this than what you actually did.
And what's the price on this one? $20, $19.95.
Yeah. And how much was Harbinger?
$24.25.
You know, I looked at Syndrome more like a piece of pop art.
Yeah.
But what is pop art good for?
Just
coffee
for
table.
War. Visual eye
coffee
candy.
Tables.
Right.
It's good for coffee tables.
War. Pop art. What is it good for?
My friends didn't miss it when it left the house, so, you know.
All right, well, that's going to do it for Syndrome, I think, because I don't really have much more to say.
I don't either.
No.
I mean, I would be stretching on that one, so.
All right. That's going to do it for that. We are going to take our final break.
Right.
And then when we come back, we're going to talk about Morning Glories from Image.
Morning Glories.
And do you have any other series that you forgot to talk about?
No, I'm not
going to
pop anything else out.
Nothing else?
I don't think so. No.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back.
You're listening to a podcast on PopCultureNetwork.com. Be sure to head on over to the site at www.PopCultureNetwork.com to check out more podcasts and videos featuring toys, comic books, video games, and all the things you love. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you purchase helps to keep us producing. Just head over to PopCultureNetwork.com and click on Store.
I guess it depends on the age of everyone involved.
Right.
All right, welcome back to Comaholics, folks. This is segment 4, episode 15. 15?
Did you remember it was 15 this time? Because you always forget.
I only knew that because we looked up statistics on the prior episodes before we got started. So.
And they're all through the roof, every single show.
Through the roof.
Yep.
Raise the roof. So, I still got to get iTunes numbers. I got to figure out, if anybody's familiar with iTunes and publishing on iTunes and how you find out your actual statistics from iTunes, let me know. Because personally, I hate iTunes. Mm. I hate dealing with it. I hate publishing through it, but I know so many people listen through iTunes, so.
Bless their hearts.
You got to do it, but.
So, Morning Glories.
Not my America.
Oh, I need to get a beer.
Another one?
Fortunately, all I have to do is take about 3 steps.
1, 2, wait, was that 3?
That
where was
3?
I don't know, I'm lost. I can't count. That's a can.
Yeah.
You know, there are bottles of beer in there.
I know.
Are you saying that my bottles of Busch aren't good enough? You have to have your cans of Pabst Blue Ribbon?
I guess, you know, I stretched it out further than I thought.
Huh. Good thing I stopped and got it.
Daylight savings time. I blame my day on daylight savings time. I'm going to be all thrown off tomorrow, too.
Daylight my pinky knuckle.
Well, gets me out of work tomorrow. Go for it. What?
What? All right. do we need another shot of tequila before we
do
this?
No, well...
No, I don't.
No.
You sure?
What?
Nothing.
Oh, it'll help your breath.
But... What do you want?
Nothing.
Okay.
All right. Back to the show, folks.
Okay, what were we doing here?
Testing. 1, 2, 3.
This thing on? Are we back? We're still commercial? No, we're live. Okay. So now, segment 4, episode 15, we're going to talk about Morning Glories from Image Comics, written by Nick Spencer.
Yes.
And art by somebody whose name I can't pronounce. And
that's well,
the nicest way I can put it. So you knew nothing about Morning Glories except I said to you, "Hey, we're going to read Morning Glories."
No, I remember seeing the covers and the previews and seeing hot chicks on the front covers.
Oh, the hot blonde chick.
Yeah,
yeah. But otherwise, you didn't know a thing about it. So, no. So what did you think when you started reading it?
I really enjoyed it, and it kind of goes with the theme of.
Wait, can you tie it into Batman Long Halloween?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
But I can tie it back into
Harbinger.
Harbinger, which we talked about earlier, and also Avengers Academy. I guess I can
tie it back to that too. Yeah, you can see that.
I thought the story was great. I thought that the fact that you don't really know what's going on even after issue 12 is fantastic, and it's still but driving me crazy at the same time.
It's definitely a book that starts out with a particular feel to it and then totally takes a left turn out of nowhere.
The whole thing is left turn.
It's just full of crazy. Well, okay, here's the thing. To me, like, the easiest way I can think to describe Morning Glories is this is Lost. Like, the best episodes of Lost as a comic book series.
Oh, wow.
Like, with all the crazy turns and the stuff going on that you think, this doesn't make any sense at all. And then they explain it. And then you go, oh, well, all right, there's something starting to happen there. But then there's also stuff where, you know, you see the chick pull up in the Jeep and she's wearing the safari stuff and she goes through some sort of tunnel and she comes out and she's at the academy. It's like, what? Wait, what? Where are they? What's going on? So, anyway, let's talk.
Great covers, by the way.
You like the hot chicks on the covers of Morning Glories?
Well, and you know what? Actually, that's funny because you should never judge a book by its cover. Because when I would see the Morning Glories covers in previews and stuff, I just thought it was just one of those comic books.
High school kids.
Yes, and it's just like boobies and legs. And, yeah, and nothing else. No sustenance. Boy, was I wrong. It's a great story, and the thing is, basically, it's this exclusive academy. All of these students are all born on the same day. That are accepted. A lot of kids enroll or apply to this academy, but only certain kids are accepted. And it's a group of kids that are all born on the same day, and they all have something special about them. They don't know what it is. And it seems like the faculty doesn't necessarily know what it is. But the faculty is funded by some either private organization or governmental organization. And it's not your typical prep school. There's a lot of undertone of evil doing going on. And it just kind of builds into a lot of wrongness.
Wrongness.
I mean, I don't know how much I want to give it away, but
I think we can give away some of the stuff that happens early on in the series.
Well, I mean, for example, the headmaster kills this girl's parents.
Right.
Whenever
anyone comes to the academy,
some girl-on-girl violence.
Yeah, there's some violence.
Whenever anyone comes to the academy, they basically. All ties are broken with their family that they left behind. And if they try to make contact, if they try to make a cell phone call, or they try to send an email or whatever, their family has no memory of who they are, doesn't want to have anything to do with them. Except for this one character whose parents apparently do try to come in contact with her, or she, I forget exactly what happens, but they realize that in order to break her from her family, they have to kill her. So she ends up going to the basement of the school with one of the other kids and finds her parents chained to the wall, and they've been tortured and killed. And
this is early on. This is like issue 2 or 3.
Yeah, very early. It might have been the end of issue 1, actually. I'm not sure, but... so it's from that moment, you're like, okay, well, these people are evil. You know, obviously, there's evil. And there's a whole lot of... People are just now trying to escape. And it kind of brings back that Lost feel to it. Where they're like, we got to get out of here. Like,
again,
we got to do whatever
it takes. Just like Lost, the great part about this story is the mystery of the story.
You know, I mean, the great... It's
you aren't clear who these people are, what this academy is.
What the main premise is, who the real bad guys are. You know,
why they're doing it.
Right. And what the heck is going on half the time, to tell you the truth.
Because there is definitely something... The people at this academy are treating the kids this way because they're trying to find the right person, or they're trying to get the right event in motion, but you don't know what exactly that
is. The event in motion is.
Right.
Other than it's... What's the saying? The writing on the wall?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
The future... what's the state?
I think it's like issue 2. Hold on, let me see if I can find it.
Almost like the boys from Brazil.
Let me check issue 2. Because in issue 2, there's like the girl in the Spanish
prison. The ball girl? Remember when the ball girl writes on the wall with the blood from the guy she slit his throat?
Must be an issue 3.
Something about the future, like, and it's kind of like the main theme throughout the, oh, I feel bad that we don't know this.
Yeah, I know, it's like,
it's on the tip of my tongue. For a better future. That's what it is.
Well, that's what the Academy says.
Okay,
yeah.
And then there's something that said, because there's like this, there's an underlying force in every issue that's trying to motivate these kids.
Right, because the Academy has this motto, this mantra of for a better future. But the kids keep having these dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all having in the dream the same phrase is coming up again and again in all of their dreams. And I'm trying to find it here real quick.
I know, I'm looking through issue 7 right now. I'm trying to...
I think it's in issue 3... Yeah, here we go. Let's see. Translated from the Spanish, blah, 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 blah. She peeks through the hole, and it says... Where are we at? Come on. Stop talking to the Spanish, dude. It says, the hour of release draws near.
Right.
And they keep having that
the
again.
Hour of release.
The hour of release.
So for a better future is the bad guys.
And the hour of release.
The good guys are trying to put this message across that the hour of release is near. And
the hour of our release draws near. There it is. Yeah. All over the Spanish prison walls.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that comes up again and again. And, like, there's even one point where they're torturing one of the kids. And they're like, what did you see when your eyes were open? And they said, the hour of our release draws near. Like, that makes no sense. What are you talking about? You know, so there's another, you know, motivating factor, another force at work, at odds with the people.
Oh,
of the
all will be
camp.
Free too. There's another one.
Mm. Till all are one. That's what they said in Transformers, yeah. the movie, the original one, the good one. Anyway, so you've got these different kids. You've got the girl, kind of like the all American blonde girl, nice mm-hmm. girl. You've got the girl who does all the emo poetry.
Right.
You've got the girl who's the stuck up. Bitch.
The brunette.
You know, doesn't like everybody. You've got the rich, spoiled kid who probably killed his own dad.
Right.
And he's
a sex fiend.
Well, I mean, who isn't?
Well. Right.
And then there's the
good boy.
The Korean.
Oh, yeah.
Is he Korean? I think he is.
Asian gentleman. He's got a twin brother.
June.
Who's in the academy as well.
Is that all of them?
No,
and then there's the other boy, the redhead.
Yeah.
Who's the like boy. The all-American boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like the first episode, or the first episodes, the first issues of the book, the crazy stuff is happening. They're locked in a classroom. It's filling with water. They're going to drown. You know, they see the parents are tortured and murdered, and they're trying to break away. But then after a while, they realize that they're stuck there. They can't get away.
Right.
And then it's like they kind of start to live normal lives. Like they kind of forget the horror that they're trapped in. And they start kind of having that Stockholm...
I think
that
was the hardest part for me to believe, though, was that Stockholm Syndrome caught up with them so quickly.
Well, but I mean, part of it is, it's that whole North Korean effect where everybody says they love Kim Jong-il, he's the great leader, and how many of those people actually believe it, and how many people say it, because if you don't, you're going to get murdered.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Even though you're starving to death.
Right. still have to say that you praise
the hour of release draws near.
Yeah, there it is again. Yeah. So was that issue 7?
10. Mm. So, you know, there's...
So it does pop up.
Oh, and then the creepy ball girl. That still gives me the creeps.
So, yeah, there's something with ghosts. Right.
Oh, the ghost guy that, like, reaches in and, like,
reaches into people and they start bleeding.
So there's a lot of, like, really mysterious things that, like, as
there's
a
some
reader,
sort of, like, spinning top.
It reminds me of the Tron head.
Yeah, the MCP cone. Yeah, kind of.
So there's a lot of really bizarre things going on with Morning Glories to the point where, like, they could take this in so many different directions, this next, like, trade paperback or whatever of, you know, 12 issues or whatever they decide to do, and it would be acceptable.
Well, and here's the thing.
And
that
it's almost like, it's a little frustrating because they're setting this all up to the point where, as a reader, I can't go, okay, I think this is kind of where it's going. Which is kind of clever because at the same time, that draws me to want to read the next issue.
Right. Well, and the thing about it is, at no point do I feel like they're just flying at the seat of their pants making
No, it seems
like
contrived.
Nick Spencer, who's putting this together, like, I feel like in his mind, he has the answer to everything.
Right.
And he's just slowly giving us piece by piece. At no point do I feel like, well, he just kind of pulled something out of his butt in order to make it fit.
Well, there's some clues. Like, there's some scenes where, like, you'll see, like, the future, and it's, like, blown up buildings and piles of bodies.
Oh, yeah.
And that happens several times. Like,
there's some sort of apocalypse.
There's a catastrophe that's coming.
They're either building up to it, or they're trying to prevent it.
Right.
Like, it's hard to tell, like, which, like, what's going
like,
on.
Like, are they trying to cause it?
And I almost wonder, well, I almost wonder if the Morning Glories Academy is trying to stop the apocalypse. That's the better future.
And that's why it's okay that they're compromising and killing.
And that's why they're like, we'll kill their parents because we're trying to stop the end of the world. Like, you know what I mean? Like, right. I almost feel like that may be the twist that's kind
of
coming.
And I think the end of the world is the kids, too.
It's you think the kids cause it?
Yeah.
Or at least one of them does.
And they're trying to figure out who it is.
Right.
So that's why they're rounding them up.
All the ones born on that day fit the prophecy or whatever.
Right.
Right. I mean, I can definitely see that. But like I said, it feels like Lost on so many levels in a way that works. Like, the best parts of Lost, not the crazy stuff, but you know, all that stuff in like season one that really made you
the weirdness
love it. And like I said, this is one of those books.
Which character did you find most entertaining?
Oh, the blonde chick,
the main,
because she's hot. Casey, that's my girl.
I thought the twisted dude, the sex fiend twisted dude,
you
was
like
was a real trip.
You like the brat,
yes.
What's his name?
I thought it was just
he's sweet.
No, it's not a sexual thing. It's about, like, enjoying the character and the dynamic of the character. He was the most dynamic character. Because he was, the way he thought ahead on what he was doing in order to get what he needed to survive in this Stockholm Syndrome environment. I mean, he was like five steps ahead of everybody else, like trying to plan out his next move.
Yeah.
So for me, I don't. He's kind of a draw with Casey because she had that whole brilliant scheme where they're trying to rescue the emo poet girl,
right?
And she had all this stuff planned out.
She had all the
except
gear
for
and...
except for the brat dude. That was the X factor she hadn't planned. You know, so that's really the main story that's all built in there is just like this team of kids trying to work together to help each other to either break out or discover what's going on with Morning Glories, what it's all about. That's pretty much the gist of it. Yeah, and there's some similarities to Harbinger. You know, it goes right back to it. And also, I think Avengers Academy should probably give a little props to both of these books, you know? But
I think there's also the artist of this book, Joe Eisma, it's E-I-S-M-A. I'm not sure how you pronounce that, but he's not someone that I don't know that I've ever seen him before. But I love his artwork in this book. Like, it's, you pick up this book and it doesn't feel, a lot of times you'll pick up something that's not Marvel or DC and you kind of look at the artwork and it's just kind of like, meh, you know, like, it works, but it's not necessarily great. And picking up Morning Glories, I think he does a really nice job on the book. He's a great artist. And then whoever does the covers, I don't even know who does the covers, but those are...
He likes women.
Those are beautiful. But, but I mean, you know, this, it, the story is great, the artwork is great, it's, when I'm unpacking the new comics every week, you know, when there's a Morning Glories, that's one that I stop and read. It's like that and Walking Dead are the two that it's like I always got to stop and read those before.
Yeah, I've already started reissue 13.
Before I start unpacking them, you know. So those two are both just incredible. And like I said, it doesn't feel like it ever gets old.
No, it's dynamic.
And the twists never feel out of place. You never feel like, you know, because a lot of times, like some of this stuff, June, I think is his name, the Korean boy, you find out he's got a twin brother.
Right.
You know, just at one
and
point.
And then he sought him out.
And yeah, and then there was a mix-up between the two brothers, right. And the wrong one went to the academy and all this kind of stuff. And that could have been so incredibly cheesy and Days of Our Lives. Oh, it's the twin brother. They got the wrong one. You know, you know what I mean?
And the closer they get together.
No, they made the switch. There was a switch.
Right.
And they put a good story behind the switch.
Right, and it made sense, and it worked, and it was a twist
And you know what? That's probably the only closure they've given so far in the character dynamic. So, and just doing that gives me hope, because it shows, like you said earlier, that there is intent behind the confusion. So that means in the issues to come, and I think you should collect this, in the issues to come, you won't be disappointed if there is good structure there, even though it's very confusing. You know, I think where they're going with this so far, my feel is that it's quality. You know.
Now, I will say that
they're laying some groundwork.
The first maybe four issues are kind of difficult to get a hold of. They reprinted them a couple times. There's second prints, third prints of some of those books out there. But they're still kind of difficult to get a hold of. They do have trades. You can buy them on Comixology if you go on there. You can buy the individual issues for $1.99 for all the old ones.
Yeah.
You can buy the trades. You can get six issues by on Comixology by the first six issues for $9.99 in the first trade.
Well, and
the
I
second six
say,
issues for $9.99 in the other trade.
I mean, you know, I had to get the digitals to catch myself up on this, and it's one of those comics where it reads well digitally. If that makes any sense.
I mean, it's just such a well-done story.
If there's people out there that are kind of half and half like me that read a lot of paper and a lot of digital, it flows well on the screen. So
yeah, you can get them graphically, Comixology, I think mydigitalcomics.com, as well as, you know, try your local comic book store. We've got a whole bunch at shoppcn.com, Pop Culture Network store. You can buy them there. But, I mean, it's definitely, like I said, this and Walking Dead.
Right.
I mean, this is going to be the next big movie or TV series
show.
Or whatever. This will be developed into
something.
It'll
either ruin it or
it'll be really good or be
so. I have to say that this is a podcast I was very excited about doing. There's a lot of good content here, and it looks like Dirk's going to fall asleep over there.
I'm sleepy.
Drink another beer.
Oh, yeah, that'll help me. That'll wake me right up.
Hey, I've got some lawn darts from the 70s. It's really dark out.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah, they were actually officially involved in a lawsuit, so...
Are they the jarts?
Jarts.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll do some shots of tequila, go outside, play with the jarts, and then if I'm still living tomorrow, I'll put up this podcast so you guys can hear it.
And then if Dirt's still alive, we'll talk about doing Comaholic 16. You know what? We usually have some foresight as to.
Well,
like,
actually, I've got some things.
Okay, what you got?
We got Rotten Number 2, Volume 2, second trade paperback, so we can cover our Civil War zombie storyline. Get with the next part of that. That's all I got so far.
Right.
We can do Ultimate Fantastic Four Volume 1 if you want to do that.
And we did put Deadpool Max on the back burner.
And Deadpool Max we still have to do. Yeah. We didn't get a chance to do it last time.
There's some stuff out there.
So that may be the three things we're doing.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. So I hope everybody had a happy Halloween and go Walking Dead to talk about all things current going on right now in the pop culture world. C2E2 is coming up in a few months. Seems like it's right around the corner. We got to get through the holidays first.
Man, I'm not even... I know they've sent us the press things already. They're like, send in your credentials now! Get your press passes! It's like, come on! It's like, that's going to be like March or April and...
I'm saving up now.
Well, you got to!
I know.
You got to. There's good stuff there.
Spend a few bills.
That's a good show. That's a good show. All right, folks. That's going to do it for now. Any final words?
No, I've got nothing.
Any final words from you?
Just
don't be old. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's going to do
it
for me.
Never grow up.
Thanks for listening. Be a Toys R Us kid. And we'll see you next time on Comaholics. Don't forget, if you want to join the forums, you can come to ineedcomics.com, click the forum button, and join us in the comic discussion. You can also send us email, either apocalypse@comaholics.com, or dirt@comaholics.com, or dirt@ineedcomics.com, or dirt@popculturenetwork.com. Whatever. Anyway, you can find me. Also, you can leave us a voicemail. It's our 24-hour voicemail line. It's area code 217-953-4025. Let us know what you thought about the
show. And we want your feedback. Yes, please. We want your feedback. If you've read some of this stuff...
We need to do a code word. What's our code word? People can get a shout-out on the next show if they get a code word. What's the code word?
Silver plate.
Silver plate. All right. You heard it right here now. Silver plate. I know a lot of people turn off the podcast when we start talking about the forums and the phone number and everything.
But some of those know because we've come back to it. So
here, silver plate. You're listening right now. Send us an email, voicemail, whatever. Silver plate in your message, and you'll get a shout out on the next show. So thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.